Welcome, everyone, to KTWHLP, Two Harbors Community Radio, 99.5 on your dial, ktwh.org on your streaming device, bringing you this week's stories behind the stories in the Lake County Press with editor Kitty Mayo. Good morning, Kitty. How are you on this snowy and chilly day?
I'm wonderful. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, yes. I'm glad I had my walking spikes on. There's still that ice underneath that thin veneer of snow on the sidewalks in some places. And so I got here entirely upright the whole way. And so it's a good day for us to start out. Our lead story is a big one about a year after the Ukraine invasion. A former Two Harbors High School exchange student speaks about fears for prolonged war.
Yes, this is a really important story. So we are just about exactly to the day, 1 year from the announcement of Russia invading Ukraine, and unbelievably, it's still going on. I interviewed on a video chat an individual named Bodin, and I'm not going to try and say his last name. Well, maybe I will. Paladychuk, and I'm sure I'm saying it incorrectly, but for those people that remember Bodin, he lived with Penny and Jamie Juniman in the school year 2010-2011. And so he lived in the Two Harbors area and attended the Two Harbors High School. And I talked to him last April. He had just fled Kyiv last April, and I was able to have a video call with him then. He had moved into the western part of Ukraine where his parents' home is in Rivne, and it was a bit safer, but a really scary time. And he and I have stayed in touch just a little bit in the last year. And then I wanted to check in with him again. And it's incredible to be speaking to someone and see them and asking them what life is like in a war that's happening right now that, you know, the United States is very involved in supporting and with the firearm, the fire capability to help this tiny country support their independence from Russia. Bodin was well. His dad and his father are both in the military, active military, and he is not currently drafted, but he just had a coworker drafted the week that we spoke last week. So he has a partial exemption because Bodin is working with the Ukraine government for developing programs online for connecting people with humanitarian aid. Bodin's background and his work and his company that he owns is a digital design and marketing and website, all this kind of IT stuff. So he has had one really successful project already in collaboration with Ukrainian government for humanitarian aid connections to help connect people with the things that they need in the country. And that's already served over 700,000 people in the last year. And then he just got a new initiative off the ground. He's waiting for President Zelensky to sign off on it. It's called the Ukrainian President's Fund. And it looks like what that is probably, he couldn't tell me a lot about it, but my research tells me that's probably for rebuilding infrastructure. You know, there's been hospitals and daycares and schools bombed and roads and bridges, and these things all need to be repaired. So it's an amazing story. I really encourage people. The biggest thing I asked Bodin was, what do you want people in Two Harbors and Lake County to know? And he said, please don't forget about us. He said, I know that as time goes on, it doesn't seem relevant. And then he said, and this just shook me, he said, on the battlefield where my dad and my brother are, it's relevant every day. So he was really hoping that we remember Ukraine and that we're thinking about them.
Oh, yes. Well, it is something that most of us don't realize what it's like living with war and with people who are doing their best to kill you. And so this should be a good sobering piece for people to read. I'm looking forward to seeing it myself. Your next item here is about the Madonna of the Ice, a photo is from 84 years ago. And what's it like now, I guess, huh?
So it's pretty much the same. I just thought it was a neat, actually Christina Raffin, one of our staff, said, I think we should just highlight this. It's cool. It happened in February. So there's a super cool photograph that you can see at the Two Harbors Public Library in the hallway. I've passed by it many times and wondered about it myself. And an individual, we think his name was Mr. Evans, took a photograph after a big storm on February 11th, 1939 on the North Shore, somewhere near Split Rock. So it's a cliff shot with all this ice hanging off of it. There must have been huge waves and just the right temperatures to create these ice formations. And in the photograph, it's not difficult to see a figure that looks like a woman in robes, and he or somebody named it Madonna of the Ice. We did as much research as we could find working with Madeline Jarvis at the library to try and see what we could, you know, glean from history. And there's not a lot. So people can read about what we did find. And also there's an ask out if anyone remembers this photograph and any more details about it from 1939.
Oh, very good. It's something that emphasizes a trick of the mind that we humans have where we seek patterns in things that we see if it's something that's a little bit odd or a little bit unusual or a little bit attention getting. And so this is one of those things that the mind's eye has led us to see back then. It should be an interesting piece. Our next item here is about senior housing. There is a evergreen development proposal plan in the works, and so tell me more.
Certainly. So Evergreen is the working name for a proposed, so let's be clear, this is a proposed building project on August Omvet Avenue. I'm sure I didn't say that quite correctly, which is, I'm going to say generally speaking, up past the Super One grocery store in Two Harbors, sort of on the edge of town over there. And this is something that the city, Two Harbors City HRA, has been working on. Tom Furman was interviewed by Katya Gordon, and he gave as many details as he could to round out where he thinks and hopes his project is going. And it would add somewhere around 50 new units specifically for people who are in a moderate, affordable income bracket, who perhaps are of an age over 60 or have other mobility or disability concerns. So this is pretty exciting and much needed. It's going to be a while. It's going to be a minute, folks, if it happens. Funding has not been secured, so I always like to remind people of that. But Tom feels real hopeful about it.
Well, I think it is something that is seriously long overdue. And one of the things about an affordable housing project like this for seniors, that's people in my age cohort, if they don't think that they can manage living in the old homestead any longer for one reason or another, they move into a housing arrangement like this. That opens up a house in town for somebody else who's younger and maybe has a family and they're looking for a place to live. And so this home, although you say, well, it's for seniors, that don't apply to me. What it does is it opens up other housing. So it does apply. Yeah. So this is something that is of interest to the entire community on the affordable housing level. This is big news, and tying in with that is the One Roof plan to build a couple of affordable houses in the area.
Yes, there's things happening with houses, which is so cool. So I got a chance to talk to Zach Hallett, who is our relatively new county HRA director. Just to clarify for people, there are two HRAs in our area. One is the county organization, and the other is the city organization. So that's in the Two Harbors direct area. And I also talked to Debbie Friedman, who is the housing development coordinator for One Roof, and this looks like a go. There was a couple of properties on 10th Avenue, kind of opposite ends of the block, where there's no house on either one of these lots. They're regular lots, and the deal has been worked out with the transfer of the ownership of the, it was a tax forfeit property, and so that ownership had to be changed to, I can't follow all the threads of that, but anyways, they're working on the paperwork to make it so that One Roof can build two new houses on that. And again, this is going to be out a couple of years. It's probably going to depend on availability of construction contractors. And it's a pretty exciting thing. It's going to bring two brand new houses to Two Harbors. And they will, again, this is interesting. We'll talk about community land trust issues as this goes along and explain that more. But it'll be for ad infinitum For people of moderate income means, in those two homes will always stay that way.
And a huge thing about this is that the utilities are already in place on those properties. I mean, it's not like they have to string
right.
wire from a utility pole a quarter mile away, or dig a trench for different water lines and stuff. Just start wielding.
Exactly.
Yeah, clear the lot off, I suppose, if there's something in the way, and get to it. This is huge.
Yeah.
There are some other things going on in the background too regarding housing in the area, but it's too early for that. Let's move on with Two Harbors City News with the mayor primary results, and then action on Lighthouse Point public input on the 27th.
Right on. So I kind of cobbled together a bunch of different things kind of in an announcement format. I wanted to make sure as many people knew as possible. I think I failed to get in last week's paper that two individuals are moving forward in the mayoral candidate after the primary, and that would be Lou Connor and Robin Glauser. There will be another election on April 11th to bring us down to who our mayor is. So just a reminder on that. The other big thing that's kind of been bubbling right along is the Lighthouse Point development. It's in the concept plan stages, and sort of at the last minute, at the last city council meeting, there was a decision made to hold a public meeting to get public input at the 6 o'clock meeting of the city council on this coming Monday, the 27th. And I've already received a letter to the editor on the topic, and I think it's going to be a very interesting talk. I'll just tell you, Tom, and the listeners, that I called the developers, and Jack Lax is one of them, and he declined to have a conversation with me at this time, but he told me after this particular meeting on Monday he would like to speak to me and tell me more about his intentions. And I also got a hold of Ted Stockey, and he declined to speak to me also, but I'm hoping that we'll reconnect soon. So that's how far I've gotten on that.
Very good. I could probably do an hour on that project, but we've only got a few minutes left here, and this is not my show. This is your show, and it's the newspaper's show. And so I should just allow you to move on here to your final piece about the John A. Johnson School, and how old is it?
Right. So thanks, Tom. The correction to the John A. Johnson story, last week we ran a story about that property being for sale, and what we have learned so far, what people are saying, the realtor specifically for the owner, Craig Anderson, about what the intentions are with that property has been getting a lot of attention. In the article, it was stated that the current John A. Johnson building was built in the 1970s, which we have soon found from astute readers that is not the case. Now, I did walk over there and try to find a cornerstone that one of our readers had told me that I might see there, and it's buried in an icy snowdrift. So I won't be checking that out till spring, if it's even there. But our best guess was really from you, Tom, because we reached out and asked, and you responded with the possibility that that the current building was built in 1953, I think is what you came up with. Is that right?
Yeah, over a span of a few years. I mean, the original building on that site dated back to the birth years of the town itself, around 1907. A new wing was added in the early 50s, like about 1953 or so. And then there was a process of build and demolish and build and demolish. And so there was a section built in 53 and another section built in I think, 57. And it was about that time that the old building met its final end. There was a third edition after that. And so, yeah, details are in the paper, though, right?
Yes, well, we run through that in the paper, and if people have more information, it is interesting with buildings when they're built and added onto and demolished and different. It's kind of hard to track it. So if people have more information, we'd be really interested in hearing from them. They can contact the paper.
Oh, sure, you bet. And so, is there anything else that you really wanted to get out before I pull a plug here?
There's always more to the story, Tom, but I'll save it for next week.
Well, very good, and thank you. And to our listeners out there, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you on the radio again next week. And to you, Kitty, as well, thank you, and bye for now.
Thanks, Todd. Bye-bye.